You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome into the CHGO Blackhawks podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app and use promo code CHGO when you sign up. Thanks for being with us. Happy Pride Month, everybody out there. Hope you're celebrating. Mario's got his Blackhawks Pride shirt on. Awesome day, awesome month, awesome time. So happy Pride Month, everybody out there. Make sure you smash that like button on the YouTube page. Make sure you follow our YouTube channel by subscribing. Same thing with your podcast app. Follow, like, leave those five-star reviews. We'd really, really appreciate that. Yes, a lot of people in the chat are saying it, 27 days until Connor Bedard is a Chicago Blackhawk. We're going to talk about that. Corey Pronman has one of his latest mock drafts out with some good news for the Hawks, however you cut it up.
You'll never guess who You'll goes never number guess, one.
But it looks nice at 19, too.
Yeah.
Got some news around the NHL with the Pittsburgh Penguins hiring Kyle Dubas, but maybe more interesting who they didn't hire. And then at 2:30-ish, give or take, we're going to be joined by TNT's Liam McHugh. The Cup Final, you may have heard, starts on Saturday. We're going to get a preview with Liam McHugh, their studio analyst. So a big show today. Thanks for being with us. And I guess we should start with the why don't we start with the Penguins real quick?
Yeah.
It's really nice to hear from Kyle Dubas a couple weeks ago saying, if it's not here in Toronto, I'm not going anywhere. My family can't handle it. And days later, he's named.
That was as GM.
As GM, though. I guess it's technically true. He doesn't have to travel as much in his current role.
It's the old George Costanza line. It's not a lie if you believe it.
There you go.
I don't think anybody for a second believed that anyway when he said that. Like, money talks.
Yes.
Money
yes.
talks. Pittsburgh threw it at him. They gave him money. They gave him a title. Now, we get to see if the hype surrounding Kyle Dubas is real. He's been anointed like this hockey genius for years. And when he first got there, it was Lou Lamoriello doing all the heavy lifting. Yep. He was the one that got drafted a lot of those hardcore guys, you know, the guys from your Matthews, your William Nylander guys. Now there's all these reports that Brendan Shanahan and the board shot down a lot of his moves. He doesn't have those excuses anymore. No. He's in charge. Let's see what you got, boy wonder.
Hey, I'm interested. And I'm happy for his family, you know. Now his wife can open her, like, random weird business that hockey wives, like a pillow shop, or I'm going to massage your hamsters for $50 an hour or whatever.
Brent Sopel's
was a pillow shop. That's exactly what I was talking about.
I thought it was a stationery store. Same thing. Yeah.
Now these, my wife says she's a small business owner. Congratulations. So I'm happy for the Dubas family, but I am genuinely interested to see what he can do, because when he was hired, he was not the old boys club hire. He was a smart, kind of the new generation of hockey thinker, and I'm glad guys like him are getting work. It's really fun, and it's really easy to laugh at the Leafs. We all love to do it. It's hockey's favorite pastime for the 31 other cities in the league.
They make it so easy, right. And they did it again today. Mm-hmm.
But I think the idea of Kyle Dubas is a good thing for hockey. Whether or not actual Kyle Dubas is really good at his job remains to be seen. I think he's pretty good. I think he'll do well as long as he has control.
I think, you know, while he was with the Leafs in the assistant GM role, he had control over the Toronto Marlies. And I know it's a different situation, AHL to NHL, how you run a team, but he was able to get that team to win the Calder Cup. Like, I think there's something to be said about that, especially at that point in his career where he was, you know, really young and up and coming. So now he's no longer, you know, in a position where he's the GM having to answer to anybody. He's above that. He's the president of hockey operations. Whoever he ends up hiring as GM will kind of need to be in step with what he wants to do. And it'll be interesting to see who he brings in, if anybody. I mean, maybe it's do we know for sure that there's a GM position coming, or is he going to be kind of assuming both roles?
He's going to assume both roles through July, and then they're going to look to bring somebody in as a general manager. But again,
so he'll start kind of the off season in his picture, and then bring somebody in.
And it'll be interesting to see what he does, because he's kind of locked in with those Crosby, Letang, and Malkin deals.
Yep.
So he gets to hire another version of himself that doesn't have full control at GM, because you know Kyle Dubas is going to be like, nope.
Well, you know what?
My team.
It's fine when it works.
Right.
When it was Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer, everyone's like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Because you got two smart guys calling, you know, working together in tandem. Mm-hmm. But what you don't want is what he had in Toronto, where maybe he, and we talked about it yesterday. I think, Greg, you had a specific, what was it, Hagel and Fleury for.
There was a rumored deal that Dubas wanted to do, like Fleury and Hagel for Nyes plus extra, like might have been with their first round pick. I can't remember. I should have gone back and reread that. But anyways, something like that, and obviously that didn't come to fruition. But I think that was a GM move. Yeah, exactly.
They got Knicks.
That's a big swing to take.
He's gonna have to make some big boy moves to get the Penguins back in the contention with all that salary cap. And yes, Crosby and Malkin are still very productive players, but for how much longer?
Mm-hmm.
And Letang is productive when he's playing. And that's his biggest issue. So we'll see what happens. I loved, as someone who loves sports teams being petty as hell, I got the biggest kick when the Penguins made sure they announced it 30 minutes before the Maple Leafs announced the Bradtree Living. I love that. I was like, this is fantastic. Way to steal Toronto's thunder.
Yep. All the,
and then make all the questions about Kyle Dubas at the Bradtree Living press conference. Loved every second of that.
That had to be calculated.
Oh, for absolutely sure. That was. Dubas was like, yeah, I'm going to take this job, but you have to announce it right now.
That's the only way I choose when you announce it.
You can give me $1 million less if you mount it 30 minutes before the Leafs press conference. And that's going to start a little bit of a rivalry between the Leafs and the Penguins, I think.
It might,
And somebody mentions Jason Spezza. There is no doubt Jason Spezza is getting a job in the Penguins front office.
Yeah,
I mean, he.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
He quit the second he learned Dubas wasn't going to be back. That's loyalty, and he'll reward that. Maybe Spezza becomes the figurehead GM.
GM, who knows? Yeah,
and it's a tandem. We'll see, but I guess the guys at the Athletic Hockey Show were completely wrong they were completely wrong when they said it was all but a done deal that Eddie Olczyk was going to get that job and Dubas was going to be the GM. Another team passing on Eddie Olczyk. In a league where it's retread, like Chuck Fletcher can keep getting jobs and Peter Chiarelli somehow keeps getting interviewed for jobs and Eddie Olczyk can't get one, that tells me a lot.
Well, you know,
and by the way, retread, before, I didn't want to interrupt your point. So when Kyle Dubas loses this job and gets hired again, is he officially a retread?
How many treads does it take to become a retread?
Is it your third job?
I mean, technically, it's just one. You know,
he's already a retread.
Right, yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Well, we'll talk to like some sports science people and say what officially defines a retread.
We could recapture this when he gets fired in Pittsburgh in 3 years.
There's got to be some formula to how many positions you've had and how much success you actually had. Because if guys keep winning cups in different areas, it's like, oh yeah. For sure. Keep going.
Yeah. But like a guy like Theo Epstein wasn't a retread. He was a guy that was like, I won the second most cursed franchise in the league. Now I want to do it with the most cursed franchise. And he did it.
Yeah. Like Peter Chiarelli would be a retread.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely. I was just saying about Edzo. I feel like we have the reputation as like the show that craps on Eddie O. And I don't think that's true. I just, listening to that interview with him on Blackhawks Talk, he doesn't sound like a modern hockey thinker. And that's okay. And some teams want that. But I think the league is moving away from this frame of mind of where Eddie's coming from and building a team. Everything is cyclical, right? So as soon as a team with the old school, like let's say the Calgary Flames had won a Stanley Cup under Daryl Sutter, a bunch of teams will be bringing in the old school style coach and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, everything is copycat. Right now, the analytics is winning out. And I think when it comes to that conversation with Eddie, he struggles in that and he doesn't totally believe in it. And I don't think he's violently against it, but I think he is more of an eye test, old school,
right,
you know, sandpaper and grit kind of a guy. And I think most teams around the league are looking for someone with a little more of an analytical mind, especially at the top when you're mm-hmm. talking about your hockey operations and your general managers. If you want to bring in an old school coach like that, I think there's still a place in the game for those guys who, all right, give me your analytics and I'll look them over and use them as I see appropriate, but I'm still going to use my in-game experience and my scouting and all those things to make my roster decisions. That's fine. I just think when you're putting the entire control of an organization under one guy or two guys, you want to make sure that the people at the top have a mind for both parts of the game. And I think that, I'm not saying that Eddie, that sounds like a lack of intelligence thing, and of course it's not. I just think Eddie prefers the old school style where most teams now are looking to hire more analytically aligned people.
He leans definitely more towards the Mike Milbury column than the Kyle Dubas column. Not as big of a dinosaur as Milbury.
Sure.
But he definitely...
But if those are the poles,
the spectrum,
yeah, right? He's definitely leaning more towards the Milbury side.
Yes, right, right.
And yeah, that's all, you know, the analytics. I think another reason why the analytics has become so important to hockey teams is because of the hard salary cap. You want to crunch the numbers and be like, listen, maximize. We could get three guys that do the same thing at half the price.
Yeah.
And the numbers prove it. And that's, you know, the teams that have had sustained success over the past few years rely a lot on that to keep their salary cap under control and be able to compete every year. Yeah. So you need more of those number crunchers, your Jeff Greenberg kind of guys that don't necessarily know, you know, the X's and O's
That's
religiously,
okay.
but they're there to crunch the numbers and tell you what moves make better sense from the numbers standpoint. And you can't, like, I'm in the middle of the eye test analytics, and so you need both.
Greg Rags is in here just hanging out. Who is the guy the Bears had for years that just handled the cap? Remember that? He was like the one guy who would make sure the cap fit on all the contracts. He wasn't a GM.
You're talking about Ted Phillips.
No, this was like a one he like worked with the front office, and his job was the cap. Like getting contracts and making sure everything worked, doing all that math. I'll look it up.
Was it Andy Cap?
It was Andy Cap.
He got in a fight on the way home.
Oh my God, it's gonna drive me nuts. But the Bears had one guy who's literally his job was to negotiate or to work out the
contract,
salary cap contract, and all the CBA stipulations. Because you could even be like, I know all the X's and O's of hockey, and I know all the analytics and what they mean. But in terms of like deciphering a CBA.
Yeah,
that's that's tough. You need experts to do that.
Mm-hmm, absolutely,
you need lawyers and accountants.
Yeah.
And math majors.
Yeah, usually. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the trend of sports in general, I think, is leaning a lot towards the analytics. We see it in baseball. You see it brought up in football. It's definitely coming over to hockey now in large part. And you know, I think there's like you said, there's definitely an opportunity for Olczyk if he really wants it to have a front office position again. I just think those opportunities are getting smaller and smaller as you know, the minds of the game start to progress and see, you know, a little bit more of how to piece together a roster. It's kind of like we talked about yesterday in our, you know, in our mailbag episode, where it was kind of like, we had the question about getting an enforcer to protect Connor Bedard. It's like, well, that's kind of the 70s, 80s, early 90s mindset. That you don't necessarily need to do that anymore because the game is kind of evolving to where, you know, guys don't take runs at superstars like that much anymore. And if they do, most teams have someone who will answer for them. And it doesn't necessarily have to be someone who goes out there for 6 minutes a night and just punches people.
Right.
Like it can be someone, you know, who sticks up for teammates, fights, and also is, you know,
and can score 20
effective
goals.
In maybe, you know, 15 or 16 minutes a night, whatever it needs to be. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised that Olczyk continues to get opportunities. I'm also not surprised that he kind of hasn't landed one yet. And it's not like he's trying to get back into the game. Like he is you know, embedded in hockey through broadcasting with the Kraken and nationally and everything. So he's in the sport. He sees everything. I'm sure he sees so much of the game that if he were to take a front office job, it's not like he's jumping back in with, you know, hasn't been in hockey since the mid 2000s. Like right. He watches all these games, sees all of these teams.
And he prepares like nobody else.
And he prepares for knowing the ins and outs of all these teams. And so it's kind of like scouting basically while being a broadcaster. So it's interesting that, you know, he came up, he was rumored. It wasn't just a one-off. Like a lot of the, you know, insiders and analysts were bringing up his name, and you know, it just doesn't go his way this time.
Yeah, for whatever reason, he just can't get past that final interview. I don't know. We're not in the room, so, you know, we don't know what the final decision is. But Kyle Dubas is in Pittsburgh, and then Brad Tree Living is in Toronto. And it seems like the Maple Leafs are just going to do the same thing. Okay, Brad, you sit here and be the scapegoat while we have 85 cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. And then it's never good. Here's what blew my mind today. I actually had to like make sure it was actually Elliot Friedman before I retweeted it because it was so ridiculous. I was like, that has to be a fake account. And thanks to the way Twitter is today, it's so easy to get tricked by fake accounts now. But Elliot Friedman, the real Elliot Friedman, I made sure tweeted out that one of the things of restrictions on Brad Tree Living's deal is he is not allowed at the draft table. How in the F
That's so
is
weird.
Your general manager not allowed to sit at your draft table?
Is that an NHL thing? Like he's like,
no,
Kyle
no.
Davidson that's a Leafs thing.
Like, I don't know. Like,
no, but the famous picture of Kyle Dubas with two phones.
It's no, I know. Twitter I know. Profile. I know GM sit at the table, but I'm saying because he's under contract late. Is that a thing?
No, it's the Leafs. Like,
the
no,
Leafs are just saying you don't sit at the table. That's so weird.
I mean, you don't need to be at the table to make decisions. Everybody has phones.
Sure.
You can make a quick phone call, but that just sounds so weird. Like, yeah, you're the boss now, but you don't get to be at the table for maybe one of your most important nights of your job.
That's ridiculous.
You don't get to be part of that.
Mm. Like, setting up to fail. Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. Wait, and if you're willing to just go there, take the money, and leave in 2 or 3 years when everybody blames you that you're the problem, go for it. But, you know,
maybe he had a vacation already planned. Can't get out of it. Non-refundable cruise.
I literally stared at that tweet for like 10 minutes trying to figure out what? And
bizarre.
Yeah. Maybe there's more to it, but it's just, why would you not have your general manager sit at the draft table?
Hmm. That's dumb.
I don't know.
By the way, guy I'm thinking of is Cliff Stein, and his official title is general counsel. Mm. So he is their cap guru, their capologist. So, hey, here's a deal we want to do. Cliff, look it over. Make sure we're not missing anything. And that's his job.
Every time I hear the name Stein, I think of that scene from Blues Brothers. What are you going to do if we go in there and start playing anyway? What are you going to do about it, huh? Stein.
I cannot believe the draft thing. That is so dumb.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, I don't know it's
maybe it's just, you know, the Shanahan saying like, okay, like we don't want you to get involved in our process. Right. You take over once the draft's
apparently
over.
Apparently it's Calgary because he was still under contract to Calgary. So Calgary booked that for this year only. Okay.
Appreciate it, Chad.
I didn't see a follow-up tweet with that from leaving, you know, from seeing that and then coming here to the office.
So Calgary.
So since he was they needed permission to hire Tree Living, they said he's not allowed as part of your draft process because he's probably got too much inside information on what the Flames are doing.
Fair.
So that makes sense. It wasn't a Leafs thing. So see, it's so easy to think that the Leafs are doing leafy things that it's easy to so okay, that makes more sense.
He's gonna do the Bobby Valentine, the fake mustache.
Yeah, fake mustache and some glasses. Yeah.
No, I'm Tad Bree Living.
That's funny. But,
intern Tad Bree Living.
God damn, I just wanted to hate on the Leafs for something else.
I mean,
oh well.
It's sometimes,
don't worry, give him 10 minutes.
Sometimes when those ridiculous things happen, you're like, this doesn't make sense. Oh, it's tied to the Leafs. Maybe it does make sense.
I guess. All right. Now that it's been fully explained,
there we go.
That makes a little more sense.
Well, we all learned something.
All right. So the other bit of news before Liam McHugh jumps on with us. Corey Pronman of The Athletic published his latest NHL draft, Jesus. Mock draft. Mock there draft. We go. Hello. Beer's kicking in already. This Goose Island's already taking a toll on me.
It's that 9.9.
And you guys are
going
to be shocked with who they have the Hawks taking first overall.
Oh.
Defenseman?
Is it?
Yes. It's a defenseman, yes. Yes, it indeed is Connor Bedard.
Does Yaroslav Spacek have another kid?
I'm waiting for the one mock draft where someone gets like big brain and writes Fantilli. And it starts a whole friggin' thing on our show. I'm gonna take that week off.
I'm sure someone will release a mock draft that says Fantilli or Michkov number one, and everyone will lose their shit.
Don't worry, they're taking Connor Bedard.
Yeah. Yep.
It's a done deal.
It's happening. Yeah.
Yeah. They can. But the other interesting thing on that was they had Michkov falling to 8 to the Capitals.
Interesting.
But. Does he get past the Coyotes? If I'm the Coyotes, and you know you have to wait 3 years, it's going to be at least 3 years before you figure out where the hell you guys are playing. You have 12?
Yeah.
You have another 12, top 12 pick. I take Michkov at 6 and then fill my more immediate need at 12.
I would say if the arena deal had gone through and Michkov is at 6, you take Michkov. I think... Now the Coyotes are under the eight ball with whatever's going to happen with them. If it's, you know, a new arena deal or whatever, they might need someone who's like 1 to 2 years away and not rolling the dice on maybe 3 years away. I don't know.
That's one of the questions I wish.
You still have to think of your long term, like in 3 years, no matter where they're playing, they're still going to be a franchise that needs to win a hockey game.
Sure. No, I get that. I'm just saying if you're trying to sell the Coyotes on staying in Arizona, having, you know, a player that's like next, you know, not this season, but next season, he'll be here and he'll be part of the
I wonder if that even
upswing.
Matters to the people voting, though.
It doesn't.
Like, I feel like the hockey fans voting are going to vote yes.
Yeah.
Like, they're not on the fence of, well, if it's Michkov, yes. If it's not, no.
No,
I think
I understand
it's,
that.
People are like, and I don't know if you're going to convince, you know, Grandpa Joe, who lives in Scottsdale or whatever, to add 3 cents to his taxes every year.
It's going
to
be the hockey fans voting yes, and the senior citizens who don't want the traffic and the noise,
right?
That will vote no. It's every time. So maybe
wasn't
they get
that
one.
Stadium going to be right by the airport? What noise?
It's just what, you know
noise?
How it is. It is like in the entire campaign against it. As we talked to Craig Morgan, was complete disinformation. It was all scare tactics. That's all it was, and it totally worked.
Yeah.
And people read headlines, and that's it. And
as I said, I spent 3 years on a zoning board in the northwest side of Chicago, and to get anything done, you wanted to add a puppy groomer to the neighborhood, and people would be like, what about all the dog crap that's going to be on our sidewalks now because of all these extra dogs in the
that's
neighborhood?
That's a valid point.
It was like a landmine yesterday walking from the dog parks to here.
It's like that again today.
We've got the dog park.
How do you
where he also should not be named, walks his dogs. There's the dog groomer and enters our office.
Yeah.
And you have to literally it's like hopscotching to work between piles of dog poop. Yesterday there was some puke out there. It was fun.
I don't understand how when you have a dog, you sign the social contract that you were picking up after them.
Thank you.
Like, come on.
Yep. Yeah, this morning my dog pooped in a forest preserve and I was like, I don't have to pick this up, but I'm going to.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I pooped in a forest preserve this morning, too.
Well, you're getting all over the place.
As long as you pick it up.
I think of the SNL skit where, what's the guy's name? He was Dr. Spaceman in 30 Rock. Chris something.
Chris Kattan?
Nope, the other Chris. It doesn't matter.
Chris Parnell
was like pooping in Will Ferrell's backyard. he's like ran off in his underwear. That's Greg in the, Oh, man, yesterday was... There was just a giant pile. It was awful.
All right.
Anyway, back to
Corey Pronman. Anyway, who did Corey Pronman have the Blackhawks taking at 19?
He had the Blackhawks taking Oliver Moore, which I know would make some of our fans happy. That's the name has been mentioned. The thing that caught me, caught my eye, was my guy, Matthew Wood, was taken at 11 by the Canucks, which is a pick that may or may not be available. So, you know, you trade 19 and maybe one of those second round picks and you get, you know, Bosser or Garland and Matthew Wood, sign me up right now.
Sure. Sizable guy, scoring touch. I wouldn't hate Matthew Wood. I also wouldn't hate Oliver Moore.
No.
As far as skating goes, I think he's...
he fits that Kyle Davidson mold.
I think he's regarded as one of the best, if not the best skaters in this draft class. So... Yeah. That definitely checks the biggest box that the Blackhawks have.
And Andrew Cristal or Crystal, depending on how you pronounce it, was not on that first round.
No, he's draft. Slipping.
Yeah, I know people love him because the connection to Bedard and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll see.
That may or may not make a difference.
Yeah.
I probably won't, but.
But again,
you never know.
What are the chances of the Blackhawks actually pick at 19?
I think it's, I mean, they're talking about it openly.
Yeah.
Kyle Davidson is like, yeah, we want to move up. Mm-hmm. We've got the assets to do it. We're looking to move up. And that's, you know, kind of on your Coyotes thing. If they're at six and Michkov is there, trade down. Even if it's a spot or two, if you're like, we don't want any part of Michkov, we like two or three guys left on the board, you take that, you trade down two, even a one spot for a team that really wants them.
But you somehow got to get the team at seven to kind of say, we want Michkov, so the Capitals jump ahead of them to make sure they get them.
Yeah,
right.
Well, that's what starts the whole bidding war, mm-hmm. and that's what puts the Coyotes in good shape. Because again, since the Hawks won the draft lottery, we've stopped talking about the depth of this draft and how good it is. You know, like there's many guys at six that you can talk yourself into.
Oh yeah.
So if they like, maybe they're on the fence between two or three guys and say, I know there's teams below us that want Michkov really bad, and maybe we get to add a third or a second here. And do good business because we're not. It's like the Bears; they didn't want to take what's his face from Georgia,
Jalen Carter.
Mm-hmm. They didn't want to do it. They're like, nope, we're trading down. Give us an asset, take it.
Yeah,
right. Take this burden off of our hands. That's where you find out how far ahead and how deep of a thinker your GM is, mm-hmm. right? And how it takes a lot of nerve to do something like that, you know. And I'd like to see, you know, if Arizona's got the balls to do it, go for it. Like, I'd be trading down. It still scares me with Michkov. If the Hawks if he's there and the Hawks pick, whether it's 11 or 19 or wherever, I think you can take it. But if that's my pick, that is scary for me. That's a scary proposition.
I mean, it's definitely a high risk, but it seems like the reward is worth it.
Yeah, and I don't think the risk is as high as people think it is. Sure, there is a chance he never comes, but when was the last high-profile superstar Russian player that didn't come to the NHL?
The only difference, though, is everything with Ukraine and, like, them being banned from the Olympics, and it's just times are different.
It mm-hmm. is.
So
that stuff is probably going to eventually right itself at some point. You know, I don't think Russia is going to, you know, Putin's not going to be alive forever. This is not going to be a permanent thing. Things will change at some point.
Yeah.
You know, that could be fodder for him wanting to get out even quicker.
Yeah, who knows?
So, yeah, maybe.
I mean, it doesn't, like, there's not a long history. And then your point is valid about it's turbulent times and uncertainty. But there's not a long history of Russian guys, especially of that caliber, saying, nope, I don't want to go to the NHL.
No, like you said, I think it's an opportunity to get the hell out of there while things are what they are.
Especially with, you know, whatever happened with his dad, you know, that could be a determining factor,
yeah.
too, where we're like, I definitely.
And has there been, for those that missed it, this was a couple weeks before the draft lottery.
Mm-hmm.
News happened that Matvei Michkov's dad, like, turned up in a lake.
He was he was missing for, like, I think 2 or 3 days, and then they found him, you know, found his body. I haven't heard anything else beyond that. That's what happened. It's still a mystery of what actually happened.
It seems like when it happened, a lot of eyebrows went up, like, oh, and then that was the last you heard of it.
Yeah. I don't know. I think there's going to be a lot of teams, if he falls beyond 5-6, that are going to start jumping over each other to try and get him, because I think a lot of those teams in the 6-7-8 range are, you know, are able to take a swing on him. Like the Flyers, Capitals, like they're able to take a swing on him. Coyotes with the extra pick, why not take a swing on him? I think there's definitely value and reward to taking the risk on taking him.
Blackhawks could take
if the Blackhawks risk. Got up to 11 and he's on the board, I want them to take him.
Yeah, you've already got Bedard.
Right.
So why not?
If they get up to 11 and he's on the board, you have to take him.
Yeah.
I think at that point you can't let him fall any further.
I don't think he falls past the Capitals.
No, I don't think so either.
That's just too good of a fit there.
Yeah.
And maybe having Ovechkin there, maybe they think they've got a you know, a power play where they can get him here sooner.
Maybe.
Get him out of that contract, you know. Ovechkin calls, you know, the team and says, hey, listen, let the kid out of his contract to come here, and then when I'm done, the year after I break Wayne Gretzky's record, I'll come home and play for you guys for 2 years so you can make $1 billion selling tickets.
Yeah, maybe.
Sounds good. We're still waiting on Liam McHugh. He had some school issues with his children, so nothing bad, but that's why he had to move from 2 to 2:30, so he should be calling in any minute. But first, we want to tell you about how to become a diehard here at CHGO Sports. It's very easy, and it's very smart to do.
Yes, it is. Just head over to allchgo.com. You'll see the link up at the top to become a diehard member. And what do you get when you become a diehard besides our undying love and gratitude?
That's it.
Which is priceless. You're going to get access to all of our premium written content, everything that's behind the paywall, our rebuild report coming from the Blackhawks, all of our great extra bonus covers for the Bears, the Sox, the Cubs, the Bulls. We got Sky. We got our soccer coverage. All of that premium content is unlocked for you. Plus, you're going to get to pick out a free shirt or hat of your choice.
Free hat.
There's a lot of good Blackhawk ones out there. You should get one of those. That will get sent directly to your house in an awesome little box that comes with this really cool CHGO All-City sticker set, as well as your diehard membership card. You're also going to get a free shirt every year when you renew. Plus, if you love all of our dope merch, as Grandpa Stucky likes to call it, you're going to get 20% off everything you ever purchase from us again, and that includes all tickets to all of our awesome events like stadium takeovers, tailgate parties, maybe some fun draft stuff in Nashville, possibly.
Awesome.
You can save money on that, so the perks just keep coming. So besides our love and affection, you get discounts, free merch, and perks 365 days a year. So allchgo.com, become a diehard member today.
That's it.
You save money as a diehard.
Yeah.
And you save Monergy with ComEd.
That's right.
The ComEd Energy Efficiency Program, to be exact. It is committed to helping families and businesses in the communities they serve help manage energy usage and lower energy bills now into the future and into the future.
That is correct. And ComEd offers a wide variety of incentives on lighting and other efficiency upgrades to commercial, industrial, and public sector customers of all sizes across their territory. ComEd also offers free facility assessments that can help find energy-saving opportunities, like for HVAC systems, commercial kitchen equipment, or industrial processes.
Jay?
What?
Can you tell Liam how that works?
Yes. Liam, I know you're on hold. Write this down. An authorized engineer will work with you to develop a detailed assessment plan specific to your goals and needs, and these can be done in person or virtually, which is nice. And they last approximately 2 hours. Within 3 to 4 weeks, Liam will receive a report detailing energy efficiency projects that he can start working on immediately. Each recommendation will include estimated energy savings, project costs, potential incentives, and simple payback. If you own a business or a fancy broadcasting set, don't wait. Get started saving money and energy today, Monergy. For energy saving tips, lighting incentives, or to schedule your free facility assessment, go to, write this down, comed.com/poweringbiz.
Is that B-I-Z?
It is B-I-Z. Mm-hmm. The one and only biz. Schedule it today.
Before we jump to Liam.
Uh-oh.
We'll touch on this after we spoke with him, or we can touch on it with him. From Elliot Friedman, Patrick Kane's representative, Pat Brisson, says Kane had hip resurfacing today under Dr. Edwin Hus, H-S-U. As is normal, follow-ups are planned, but roughly 4 to 6 month recovery is expected. Brisson says Kane wants to play for a long time, and doctors are optimistic that that will happen. So 4 to 6 months.
So that's December. He is Hossa Jr., my friend.
Four months would be start of the season.
Yeah, so
and
six would be
and
December.
And that's optimistic.
Yeah. Wow. Hey, you know what? It shows you that he was definitely dealing with something, but you got to wonder what that does to his free agency.
I mean,
the
yeah,
fact that
you're
getting it probably.
You know what
is good?
It actually, we'll get to Liam here in a second, but if you're a team looking to sign him, you sign him, you LTIR that money, and it helps you save on the cap, right? Doesn't it allow you a little more flexibility until as you can, add him on later in the year?
Until you add him on to the
yeah
roster, you'd have to bank his AAV for when he's...
Yeah, or just have him recover until the start of the playoffs and bring him back then.
Sure,
there you go. Sounds good. Yeah, he's had a setback.
It's not like that's never happened before. Nope. Tampa Bay Lightning, I'm looking at you.
Hawks have never done that either. That's for sure. Antoine Vermette. All right, let's stop making Liam wait and bring him in here. Liam McHugh from TNT is with us now. Liam, thanks for being with us, man. We appreciate you.
It's good to be on. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. I heard this yesterday. Despite the long historic sports coverage of TNT, this is the first time TNT will cover a major sports championship. That's unbelievable.
It was kind of surprising to all of us as well. We were sitting around at the beginning of the playoffs, and we share kind of this space with the NBA guys. And once the playoffs get going, it's wild. And that first night, it was a Tuesday night, so we also had baseball going on that night. And so everybody was in there. You had like Pedro Martinez walking by, Charles Barkley, Shaq. Shaq, by the way, when he enters the room and he sees hockey guys, he pretends to skate through the room, which is just hilarious. But the one of the execs came in. The Stanley Cup was there for the first day, and they put it down. And he had this like really heartfelt, interesting speech about just like how important this was. And now it's something that people have worked here a very long time, decades, and never been a part of. And that everyone had been looking forward to it all year. And I think it's something that I know myself and probably Anson Carter had been at NBC, and we were used to doing the Stanley Cup year in, year out. Plus, we've been involved in Super Bowls and so many different championships that you take it for granted. It's hard. It's a strange thing to say that you would take something like that for granted. But this place had been involved, had done high level sports, but never had done this before.
Well, it's awesome. Congrats. It's going to be a lot of fun. And it is the Stanley Cup final we all predicted, the Florida Panthers and Vegas Golden Knights. And we've been talking about it all week, and it feels like it can go either way. I've seen some projections like they give the odds to win a series like 52-48. This is about as close as it's going to get. How are you feeling about it?
I'd feel a lot better about the Panthers if they didn't have this long layoff. I really would. This feels like a team of the moment and a magical run. And it's a lot of good vibes happening in that room. I still go back to Matthew Tkachuk when they won in Boston the first round, and they won game five in overtime, and he had that winner. And he puts the puck up because they travel with the little plaque where you put the pucks up for the amount of wins it's going to take to win the Stanley Cup. And he puts it up, and he's like, "Well, remember this room. We'll be back here for game seven." And he puts it in, and they're all going crazy. They come back. They win that series. I don't like the layoff for them at all. And I don't think it helps. I don't think it helps a guy like Sergei Bobrovsky either, because his mental state, he was so locked in. It looked a lot like prime Dominic Hasek. It looked probably a lot like the guy they expected when they signed him for $10 million a year. He's completely changed the narrative about his career during this run, and rightfully so, because he's been brilliant. So I think it's tight. I think the odds makers are right. I think there's a good chance we get a game seven in this. But everyone will say that about a tight series. And I would often caution you to look back to the last series, because Carolina and Florida was about as tight as it gets, and it was a sweep. So you really never know. Yeah. It's just kind of the way this thing goes.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all predicted that series to go at least six or seven. I know I predicted seven in Carolina, and a couple bounces here or there, and that series does go seven. Or it's a sweep the other way. A lot of people are comparing the Panthers to that 2012 Kings team, kind of this magical run and eight seed. I think the Kings kind of came out a little more out of nowhere that year, because the Panthers are just one season removed from a President's Trophy. But they're winning on the road. They've got a ton of road wins, and they're winning in tough places. So usually starting a Stanley Cup final on the road after a long layoff would not be a good thing. But for these Panthers, it doesn't seem like that's a big deal.
No, it doesn't seem like that way at all. And they're definitely, the similarity really is between those two teams, the 12 Kings and them, is, they got great goaltending and they were out of it and people didn't think they'd make it. I think this Panthers team, it's a great story because they were the President's Trophy winner last year. They went to the playoffs. They flamed out in the second round. Couldn't score on the power play. They looked in over their heads in a big moment. So they kind of blew it up, right? They got a new head coach, even though they had a coach of the year finalist. They had a guy who set the franchise record for points in a single season, John Huberdeau, and they traded him. They traded Mackenzie Weegar. The guys they picked up at the deadline, they were all gone. And they bring in Matthew Tkachuk, who I think we all thought was a good player. but I don't think anyone expected this. Not in these moments, not to be this clutch. So it's been something of a magical run. It's definitely one of these situations where you don't expect it. But what I love about them and the reason I think they're so good on the road is they have harnessed this energy of not just us against the world, but like we should not have been here to begin with. You know, as you guys well know, the Blackhawks had to go into Pittsburgh and win during the final week at a time when it was not a great idea for them to win that game. And it was a very good idea for Pittsburgh to win that game. And neither one of those things happened. Pittsburgh loses, Chicago wins, and all of a sudden the Florida Panthers are in the playoffs. And they've continued to heap the pressure on every team that they played. It's all on them. I mean, I remember Tkachuk talking to us after one of the wins in overtime about Boston. And he's like, I'll tell you how I feel right now. I'd rather be in our locker room after this game than theirs. Because he knows, like, it's all piling on for them. The difference now is that you're 4 wins away from the Stanley Cup. So the pressure is on you. I don't care if you're the underdog, even slightly. You can't play that card anymore. There's a good chance, and Tkachuk, of all people, should know this, considering his father never hoisted the Stanley Cup, there's a chance you never get back. And you're four wins away. So they're going to feel that in this series.
We've been joking here that the Panthers should send Buddy Robinson, who had a game-winning goal in that Penguins game, a ring if they win the Cup.
That was a great moment, by the way. I definitely had some colleagues who were like, what? Buddy Robinson?
Yeah, well...
There are people who thought it was like a made-up name.
Yeah, we thought that too. But those of us who had to host a live post-game show after that game, in the middle of the Connor Bedard Derby, winning a game at that point, it was like... It was like the most angry our fans had been in a long time. Like people were ready to like push Buddy Robinson in front of a train, but it's worked out well for both sides now.
No.
Oh, it's good times for you guys. I mean, that draft lottery party must have been off the hook. And, I love Chicago. I got a chance obviously to go there for a couple Stanley Cup finals. There's nothing like it in June when that team's going. So the cool thing about Bedard is it does sound, listen, it would be insane almost if he lived up to the hype because the hype's that high, right? It's McDavid level. It's Crosby level. But if it's close to McDavid, Matthews, if it's even in that stratosphere, the great thing is you may not have to wait that long. He might be good right away. And if he's good right away, all of a sudden you got cap room. People are like, I want to live in Chicago. I want to play with that guy. And
that's it.
This thing goes a lot quicker.
That's our buddy Chris Peters from Flow Hockey said, Connor Bedard is a shortcut. That's the guy you get to cut your rebuild short. And we've been, you know, before you jump down, we're sort of dreaming about, well, what happens now in the draft? And they can trade up, they can trade down, they can trade all over. It's really changed everything here, and it's great. But back to the Cup final. I want to know what it's like for you. You know, you've worked with high profile people before, but you start at TNT, and then you're sitting next to Wayne Gretzky. He seems like the most humble guy in the world. Back when I was working in the sports radio world, I had him on because the Cubs drafted his son. So it was an excuse to try to get Wayne Gretzky on the radio, and it worked. And he was the nicest guy, and he emailed me back and just signs his emails 99, which is the biggest flex in the history of the world. And everyone knows who the email is from. But I don't know. Do you ever have to pinch yourself when you're, You look to your left and your right, and there's a Wayne Gretzky sitting there next to you.
It's a surreal life. I think when we're doing the show, and the cool thing about the show is, you forget you're on TV and you're just talking and really, I mean, listen, our group could probably use a reminder once in a while that we're on TV, but it's the day to day stuff. It's just like getting a random text from him that is not hockey related. I got a random phone call from him once because he was asking about like my glasses because he saw I kept taking them on and off during a broadcast, and he has a great eye doctor that I should call in New York, not far from where I live. And I'm having this long conversation, and then my wife comes in at the end because she can hear me. She's like, "Who was that on the phone? Like grilling you about your prescription and your eyes?" I was like, "Wayne Gretzky." She's like, "Well, like, all right, that's a new one." You know, those are the moments, but. But I think that's just the type of guy he is. I mean, he's larger than life. Before you meet him, it's hard to imagine him as a real person. These guys feel like superheroes, right? It's hockey's Michael Jordan. But he wants to be part of the group. He wants to be part of a team. And I think that's distinctly hockey. He loves being around these guys. He's excited to go on the road. And the difference is, like, when you tell him what you did over the weekend, and it's boring and mundane because my life is a suburban dad of three and it's just like painstaking. He says, oh, I played golf. And like, you know, I got in this argument on three with MJ. And I said, well, back up. By MJ, you mean like Michael Jordan? He's like, yeah, you know. And it's like, no, we don't know. You can't gloss over details like that. Your life is very different than everyone else's. You can tell us about this stuff. He's despite all that, extremely humble. And what I love about him on the show is that he wants to chirp guys. He wants to be chirped. And he has an unlimited supply of the greatest hockey stories you've ever heard. And he's willing to share them. And I think that was my big question. You know, would he be that guy who came on, just talked for a little bit, didn't want to say much? But no, he's been out there. He shares stories, shares opinions, and the show's so much better because of it.
Yeah, I think that's something that a lot of people around, you know, the hockey world are really seeing about you guys and the panel is how, you know, kind of loose and fun it seems, while still delivering some pretty good insight and analysis and everything. We talked to you last summer after year one. You know, do you feel like that group is really kind of living up to what I think a lot of people were expecting, you know, the NHL and TNT to try and do, is kind of try and be in that, you know, NBA mold where those guys, you know, I mean, they've had years to kind of build up that chemistry. Do you guys feel like that chemistry is getting built and it's kind of coming through in the studio?
I hope so. It feels that way to us. You know, we all get along, but we all like each other and are comfortable enough with each other that if someone like chirps or insults someone on set, like, it's all good natured and you move on. It's part of the show. And I think it's funny, like, we now are at that point where if someone makes a mistake or they're stumbling over something and someone doesn't immediately just like point at them and start basically pointing it out to everyone at home, like, we're annoyed at them because it's uncomfortable for us before they do that. We want everyone to kind of share in that embarrassing moment. I think, you know, I was concerned, obviously, we had Rick Tocchet, who was such a big part of the show. And he was a guy who could connect generations because he played in one generation, played a very different brand of hockey than is played right now. But he coached younger players, and he was so connected to the game and knew so much about coaching modern players that he was such a perfect guy to have on TV for information. He was a tremendous teammate, always wanted to make the show better. So it was going to be difficult to replace. And listen, we still haven't fully replaced because we haven't brought another person who has the coaching chops. But we brought in Henrik Lundqvist, and I think this is another guy who seemed, in some ways, especially as a New Yorker, he really is larger than life. I mean, you can go into Times Square and see billboards of this guy. He's a fashion icon, a sports icon. You know, he's a New York legend, but he wanted to be part of the group. He liked the show. He liked the vibe of it. And he's come on, and he's fit in really seamlessly. And what I love about him is now I realize how dumb we were talking about goalies in the past because we knew nothing, and we were just pretending like we did. And now when he's in, his expertise is it enhances the show so greatly, and his ability to communicate that expertise is second to none, where he can teach a goalie who's been playing for 20 years the fine points and at the same time knock over the heads of casual fans who are just tuning in. Everyone learns something, but he still wants to be part of this. He wants to be part of the group that goes off the rails quite a bit. Our show does that, and I think where we are with that, listen, the comparisons, they're going to be what they are, and it's nice to be compared to a show like the NBA on TNT. I mean, Inside the NBA is as good as it gets, but they're comfortable. Their chemistry is the best that's out there. And I think we just hope to have something close to that.
I'm really glad you brought up Lundqvist, because one of my favorite things you guys did, and I think one of our complaints about hockey coverage over the years from the national perspective, is they think that people don't want to know X's and O's. Oh no, it's too much minutia. It's too much inside baseball. No, hockey fans want to learn the game like other sports or learned on wherever else, right? You did this feature with Lundqvist where he was talking about defending a breakaway, and I think it was Sarah Nurse and Gretzky were talking about scoring on a breakaway. And they were, the trio was discussing, okay, well, Hank, you're showing this, so I'm gonna shoot here. And he's like, well, I know you do that, so to make up for that, I'm gonna do this. And it was literally like a chess match happening live on TV. I had never seen anything presented like that before in the world of hockey. more of that, please. It was wonderful. Yeah. It was so good. And like, you guys have done a wonderful job of that. That's the stuff that we could, I've been watching hockey for, you know, 35 years, whatever it's been. And I would never know that stuff, right? That's the sort of stuff these guys give you the access to. It was so great. And I kind of wonder, like, as the guy who kind of drives the train, what is that balance for you between analysis and, you know, just kind of funny banter? What's that formula in your head? What do you think makes for the right level on the broadcast?
I want the show to entertain. I do. But, you know, it's funny. Talk and I used to have this conversation quite a bit where it's got to be smart and funny. And I think the minute you lose the smart aspect of it, the attempt to be funny just becomes like white noise. And it's a lot of guys just laughing over each other and, you know, patting each other on the back about how clever they are, even though no one at home feels that way. So the balance has to be there. It absolutely has to be there. And I think a good deal of like the fun and funny stuff in our show just comes from being self-aware, which is if something ridiculous happens to the show, I mean, like just little slips of the tongue. I mean, we've been doing this for a long time, and all of a sudden Anson turns to Henrik Lundqvist and he goes, "Listen, Frank," and he starts asking a question. And I look over at Biz. I'm like, "We're on the shed." I'm like, and Biz looks at me, gives me a nod. He's like, "Frank." And he lets him go through. And because it's Hank, which is great, he lets him continue, right? He's just polite. And he's just going to allow this to go. And he answers his question. And then we're like, all right. We can't carry on with this show anymore because we heard it. Everyone else at home, who's Frank? And then Anson denies the whole thing, like denies that this happened. So we go to commercial. And of course, like, we have great people behind the scenes. Boom, they're on the tape. We got a replay sequence coming back that we are going to go back and review the film. And it's both because we didn't plan that to happen. We're not trying to have a viral video. But if a moment presents itself, I think the cool thing is everyone on the panel is willing to pounce, you know, like, and they want to. And in some ways, you want it done to you. You would rather find out that way than find out later from somebody, especially like an executive. You're like, his name's Hank. Don't call him Frank. You know, and I think that's just a small moment that it happens so often in our shows. But I also think it's little things. It's like, hey, if you did something strange or odd over the weekend and we have a picture of it and you don't think we're putting it up there, we're putting it up there. Like, it's going up and we're all going to look at it and we're all going to have our comments. But I can't lose, and I think especially when we're in these playoff moments, you can't lose breaking down the game. And I think you mentioned Biz. I think one of the things that Biz has really grown with this season is he's found that balance too, because I don't think there's a more entertaining hockey personality than Paul Bissonnette, but he's also taken moments where he's taken the whiteboard and he has completely broken down plays. And you realize how smart of a hockey guy he also is and how much he deeply cares about the game. So I think the fact that everyone is a little bit dynamic and flexible and just wants to talk hockey and have fun, It's a nice balance. I wish I knew the formula for it, but I've been doing this a long time. This is about as much chemistry as I've ever felt on set.
As somebody who referred to Max Domi as Ty Domi about 30 times this season, I can empathize with Anson Carter.
I've done that.
The 90s will not die for me. Like, yeah. I will call you your dad's name before I call you your name.
Yeah, that's it's happened to all of us, that's for sure. Do you want to give a prediction, or are you saving that for the broadcast?
Prediction. I mean, all my predictions are garbage.
You're in the right place. It's all ours.
It's worth absolutely nothing. I will say Vegas in seven. I think it's that tight, which is amazing to me that, like, you know, we're going to see Jack Eichel hoisting the Stanley Cup. I mean, I got pretty deep Buffalo ties, and I got a lot of friends up there that are diehard Sabres fans, and I know it's going to pain them, and I think it's going to pain some Oilers fans too, right? You know, where it's just disbelief that, you know, their guy's career has taken off in one way. Eichel's obviously won a different, and he has a chance to hoist this cup. I think it's them, and I think it's them in seven. The defense is just too strong, and I don't know. I just feel like the Cats, they had a great run, and the layoff is going to hurt them. It just is, and it could hurt him right away in these first two games.
All right. Well, before we let you go, we got a lot of people chiming in. We don't know what kind of influence you have on future broadcasts, but a Connor versus Connor game one of the 2023-24 season would be a lot of fun. McDavid versus Bedard. So do what you can to make that happen.
I will use all of the zero influence I have to make that happen.
Just email 99@99.com.
And, by the way, you mentioned that. I got an email right before I came on with you, and it was 99.
I am so pissed at myself for not saving and printing that email and framing it. But I'll put it
really quickly. Jonesy says that he would have done that with his email, but they kept changing his number every team he went to, so he felt like people wouldn't know who he was.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. All right, Liam, we appreciate it, man. We know you're busy. Enjoy Vegas. That's really a shame. Brutal Vegas and Florida in June.
I'll try to enjoy
it.
It's going to be rough.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Liam.
That is Liam McHugh from the NHL on TNT. Follow him on Twitter at Liam_McHugh_Mafia.
Yeah.
You and Liam. There you go, Mario.
Partners in crime.
That was good. That flew by. I just love having him on because I just love getting the insight, like the behind the scenes stuff of how that goes. And, you know, and just these reminders that even Wayne Gretzky is just a normal guy, you know. I think he kind of has those vibes, though.
Yeah,
you know, like you're like, oh my God, it's Wayne Gretzky, but he is kind of a disarming. He's kind of soft spoken. It's not like a giant, like you know, you'd see Shaq or like Michael Jordan would come in here. It's like 6'6". Shaq is what, like 7 feet tall.
Yeah,
it's a little different. Like even Brian Urlacher is like just giant person. Wayne's kind of smallish, and
yeah,
I don't know. It's just it would be tough. Just like, you imagine that first broadcast, you just look over and like. Oh my God.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's like us with Hossa. Like, what's happening? Yeah. Is this really happening? Is he really there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. It definitely feels like Gretzky is, if you didn't know he was Wayne Gretzky, you could just go about your business around him and he wouldn't.
Yeah, like if you sat next to him on a plane, you're just like, oh, I sat next to somebody's uncle
on
the flight. Like, I had no idea that was Wayne Gretzky.
Yep.
I wish TNT was covering the draft because I'd love to see Liam in person down there and just chat. But
yeah, it might be down there. Do they get the awards or no? Is it all ESPN?
I think it's all ESPN.
I think ESPN is doing the or no? Are the awards on ESPN?
Or maybe it's our NHL Network.
Or is it NHL Network? I don't know.
I have, I have not looked that much into the NHL awards this year.
Yeah,
well, not a lot of Hawks on the list.
I'm sure having covered all the way through the Stanley Cup Final and the end of the season, as Liam mentioned, a suburban dad of three, I'm sure. He's not going to miss not having to go to Nashville in late June after this long season. So
definitely.
Yeah. We're just going to have to run into Chelios and Messier and PK instead.
By the way, I tweeted from my account and then retweeted from the CHGO Blackhawks account the video of the Lundqvist, Sarah Nurse, and it was Anson Carter was the third person on this breakaway breakdown. It's just an example of some of the great stuff they've done on TNT this year. Yeah. So if you want to check that out, check it out.
The TNT coverage as a whole has been superior to ESPN for the first two seasons of this deal.
I think so.
Their studio is a little better. Like, you know, they got better banter, better analysis of the games.
Levy, Messier, Chelios, and Subban are good, but I think there's a lot that's left on the table with those guys there.
Yeah, I don't see like.
Like how Liam said, like Wayne has so many stories and is willing to tell them. I think Chelios and Messier have as many stories,
probably more.
I don't, and maybe more. It's
probably
and
not.
I don't
many,
think you're. I don't think as, you're opening that that lid.
Those doors. Those stories are a little less family friendly than the potentially Wayne Gretzky stories, probably. And I think you know the TNT crew has more people that are not so far removed from the game. You know, Messier and Chelios haven't played in 30 years, and it's a different game than it is now. You brought PK in there to kind of give you the move current thing, but, you know, PK sometimes is more wanting to do his shtick than be honest about things, and that kind of runs a little
interference. Yeah, it's tough because, you know, the TNT thing, and yes, of course, Gretzky's there, but, you know, the like Bissonnette, and these guys want to do that job. Like, you can tell that they are passionate about the broadcast, and I don't know if that's a TNT thing, just giving them that freedom. That might be part of it.
Could be.
You know, ESPN might be telling them, hey, we don't want to hear any stories about the 90s. We don't want to get any letters about some bar you were at. Like, and then, you know what I mean? Like, that's not what we want to do here. And look, anyone on the 90s Blackhawks has a lot of stories. I promise you. There's tons of them, right? So it's not that they don't exist. I just think that the willingness, but I just feel like with Messier and Chelios, they're both fine, but I feel like it's more of a like, yeah, I'll do this for now. kind of a thing. Like, yeah, all right, cool. I'll do the ESPN thing for a few years, and if that doesn't work out, I'll see what happens elsewhere. I've got other opportunities. For the TNT crew seems more, I don't know if committed is the right word, but more, I think just a little more passionate.
They want to be hockey reporters and analysts, where Messi and Chelios are kind of like, yeah, I'll do ESPN this favor and get them some ratings.
Seems that way.
Yeah, which is fine. Like, they both work. I just think TNT does a better job. And TNT is in Atlanta, and Atlanta has a lot of sunny and hot weather down there. So we're getting some of that now. It feels like summer is officially here, and Shady Rays has got you covered for the warm weather ahead. You can take on that sun with gear built to last with the premium polarized shades at an affordable price that Shady Rays offers. They are an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair we've ever worn. I say even better. Durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. I just ordered two more pairs yesterday. That's how much I love them. Shady Rays offers you the most insane protection on the eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you break or lose your pair, even on day one, they told us they're going to send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. You can wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. Together with their customers, Shady Rays is providing much-needed support to nonprofit partners across the United States through the Shady Rays Impact. They're doing everything from building play sets for pediatric cancer patients to providing young adults with the MS outdoor adventure of a lifetime. Shady Rays is making an impact in your community and others just like it now and for years to come. And if you don't love your Shady Rays, but you will, you can exchange them for a brand new pair, return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop. Their team always has your backside. And exclusive for our listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Go to ShadyRays.com, use the promo code CHGO at checkout, and you're going to get 50% off all orders of two or more pairs of their awesome polarized sunglasses. That's buy one, get one free, right? Yeah? Maybe.
Yes.
Yes. I'm not a math wizard. I'm not Cliff Stein, so I can't figure that
there
out.
There you go. Nice. Yeah. Call it back.
Try for yourself. The shades rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. I listen.
Yeah. You do. That's a lot of peoples.
A lot of peoples, a lot of stars. Hey, if you got... Let me start that again. Foco, hey, they got great stuff. You know, sometimes the brain doesn't connect where you want it to. But hey, Foco is always going to connect where you want it to with some of the best collectibles and memorabilia around. You can get yourself fitted out in the best sports gear. They got hoodies, shoes, signs, bobbleheads, everything in between. Anything you want your favorite team's logo on, Foco will slap it on there and you can get it and put it on yourself or on the shelf. It's baseball season. Aloha shirts, straw hats, polos, bags, everything you need. We are in Studio B, also known as the Radish Garden. Mm-hmm. There are not as many Foco bobbleheads in this studio as there are in Studio A, but our regular studio is decked out with bobbleheads and collectibles from our friends at Foco. If you like those or anything else, go to foco.com. That's FOCO.com. Or click the link in the description below. And for all non-presale items, you can use the promo code CHGO, and you're going to get 10% off. Again, that is foco.com, F-O-C-O, with the promo code CHGO.
That's a lot of O's.
A lot of O's.
Show them your O face at Foco. All right, we're back tomorrow at 2. Website. If you missed the news, we'll probably spend more time on it tomorrow. Patrick Kane out 4 to 6 months with hip resurfacing. That sounds awful. Unpleasant.
That sounds awful.
Yikes.
Just imagine a sander going on your hip.
Yeah, that's exactly what I imagined.
No, it's a tiny little Zamboni they put in there and it resurfaces your hip.
It's a dry scrape. It's a dry scrape.
From ice hockey, just like bouncing up and down. Yeah, there you go. Oof. Well, we got that and a whole bunch more tomorrow at 2. Sure. We appreciate you being with us. Make sure you smash that like button on the way out. Make sure you subscribe everywhere you're allowed to subscribe, including YouTube and all your favorite podcast apps. And one final reminder, we are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's number one rated sportsbook. Download the app and use promo code CHGO when you sign up. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 2 on the CHGO Blackhawks podcast.